I want to talk now with an Ottawa author who is front and center on some really interesting ideas about where we should be going in terms of workplace and how working on ourselves and social intelligence in the workplace can be to our advantage in this interesting era when every time it seems we talk about the workplace, we talk about AI and what that's going to mean for workers. Let's talk about maybe what we can do to counter that. Kelly Cooper is here. A couple of books. Lead the Change was one of your first.
That's right.
First. And The Emboldened Warrior, which is the one we're talking about right now, spearheading social intelligence in the workplace. Kelly, what is social intelligence?
So let me start by explaining what emotional intelligence is to situate it, because a lot of people know about EI. EI is about what we do to help our own behaviors to improve. So the empathy, the self-awareness, the impulse control, those sorts of things. And it's important to differentiate that from social intelligence, which is how we work outwardly. So EI inwardly, SI outwardly.
And as soon as you say so EI, working, I think about it from a parent's perspective a lot when you're thinking about teaching kids how to sort of self-regulate and whatnot.
That's exactly right. So social intelligence is about how do we engage with a group. So specifically in the workplace culture, it's about how do we engage with people that are working in unhealthy workplace cultures and their behaviors that are seen and unseen. So the seen things are kind of, obviously, they're more obvious. It's about people being disrespected and all the things that we talk about with value propositions. You know, we have respect, integrity, collaboration, all these things that we talk we want to have in our workplace, but we actually action them through social intelligence skills.
So when you say an unhealthy workplace, is that the same as a toxic workplace, or are there two different levels there?
There is a bit of a spectrum. So when I talk about the seen things, those are the things that are more disrespectful, like somebody who's talking about racial jokes or sexist statements and everyone laughs along.
The kind of stuff you could go to HR for.
Yeah. But the unseen things are the things that are really quite detrimental. So those are the things I just explore in the toxic workplace context. So things like abuse of power, interference with performance of work, and destruction of workplace relationships. And specifically in that basket, there's something called mobbing, which a lot of people don't know about. And it's it's an intentional act. It's an orchestrated act to push out a perceived threat. And it can really devastate the target.
Exactly as it sounds, where a group or a majority is ganging up on someone specific?
That's right. So somebody in a position of power or authority has the trust and influence of their peers, and they can rally those folks to work against an individual who is either challenging the status quo or in some way a perceived threat. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they're wanting to take it over, whatever that person's doing. And so they abuse their power and they push that person out. A lot of people don't know this, but mobbing is a real thing, and it's very prevalent. There's even a workplace mobbing conference that takes place, if you can believe it. Yeah.
All of these issues are so interesting in the context of every time I have a discussion with someone about work from home, and I understand for a lot of people it's about work-life balance, and if you're a parent, that working from home can be easier in terms of some flexibility, and maybe you're able to meet a child off the school bus and whatnot. But there are people who really like working at home and sort of being in their own pod. And my experience here in this building, in this workplace, is it's very collegial and fun.
I
derive a lot of energy from the people around me. And I think I would hate to be off on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I would wonder if some of those people who say we like to be on our own, it's because they don't feel that in their workplace when they are in the building. It's not a very happy or relaxed or safe place to be.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's true. But it can also work against you to be at home because you're isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And people can then start to gossip and undermine you, right? So it's a bit of a fine line there. It's tricky. It's a tricky world out there right now.
How did you come to this? How did you decide you wanted to address this, or there was a need to address this?
Well, I went through mobbing myself, and I was leading a successful initiative in one particular sector, and it was going very well, and I was in my fourth year of 6 years. It was two tranches of funding that came from the government, 3 years at a time. And in the fourth year, it was just gaining so much momentum. And it was really a mandate that was nobody else's in that sector. It was a complete new lane of work. But there were people in positions of power who I was warned about at the beginning that would, you know, would want to take this over one day. And I thought, that's fine. Like, one day we can talk about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's get it going. And so we had, I had all the sector working together in a way that was innovative. It was, it was making tracks. And it threatened the status quo. It was designed to increase the number of women in senior roles and technical positions in that sector. And it was happening. And then certain individuals abused their power to influence people to leave from that initiative. Now, they all didn't leave, but a lot of them did. And people, it just created chaos and confusion. So the only way I found out about it is because I was familiar with things like ATIPs, and I did an ATIP with the government, and I only put in four names. And unfortunately for one person, one of the names wasn't redacted, but I got over 80 pages of communications between these folks and the government department. So it was pretty wild to see the level of intention to operate in such an underhanded way when there could have been other ways to go.
So you then took that personal experience, which I imagine was fairly career and soul destroying in the moment, and then thought this must be happening elsewhere to other people and looked at some of their stories.
So what happened was I ended up seeking out organizational psychologists to understand this whole thing, you know. And what I learned and what I talk about in the book is the patterns of behavior psychologically that take place that are, it's been tried and true. And it's, I map it in my book, exactly what happened to me. So you come in, you're a new person, you're greeted, you're welcomed, you're groomed in a way, they call it grooming, as the first step. Oh, great idea. Yes, love that. You know, and as you go forward and you're thinking you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, you're asking some questions, you're questioning some of the things that have been in place, and you know, and then it gets a little uncomfortable. Then the silence can come. Then the emails may not be shared anymore. And then next thing you know, you're finding yourself in a situation that you had no idea even could exist. So I write about all that in the book, and I learned about so many people just doing posts on LinkedIn, like incredible, incredible response to others having gone through this.
Mm.
So when I launched the book last Thursday, it's only been a week, it was a number one bestseller in four categories all over the world, because the project I was leading that I was telling you about, instead of buckling, I was so pissed off and so determined to not let this happen, I kept going. And I moved not only beyond the people I was engaging, but I opened it up to the whole sector. And I had hundreds of people coming per session of teachings that I was doing, and went international.
Wow.
And it was just like, it can't stop me. You know, I was just so shocked, right, at the behavior. So that whole process of learning the psychology behind this, the kinds of personalities behind this, which is really called the dark triad, it's the narcissist, the sociopath, the Machiavellian personality, really driven by jealousy, by control, and an inability to collaborate, to be respectful, to know how to operate with integrity, and all these things that we talk about.
Well, to understand that if someone has a great idea, a plan, a vision, that you can all be lifted up by that instead of brought down. So I'm sure people have obviously, it resonated for them. If you're selling that well, The Emboldened Warrior is the book we're talking about. Kelly Cooper is the author. Does it also give you some how-to, some tips, how to avoid that kind of situation in the workplace?
The book is full of practical tips. And that's one of the major feedback messages I'm getting is just, wow, this is so helpful. And like I say, it actions what we talk about with our values. And so people are finally understanding how to behave that way. So it's really, think of it as leveling up your skill set and knowing how to do things in a way that, because a lot of people, they just want to know the goalposts too on what's expected, right? A lot of people are like that. I don't know. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
So now you have some examples of what to do. I also have online training that's been tested, and that was part of the process of that project, was to create the online training. And the feedback's incredible. So I highly recommend people, if they're interested in learning how to do this in their organization, to obviously read the book, because it's just a good, you don't make any money off of selling books. So this isn't a big book sale thing, but
right.
The training is really the effective thing. It's very cost effective. but it just works. Everyone who takes it is like, oh my God, now I get it. Like, I've had all kinds of training like this, and I now, this is just connects all the dots, and I'm using it right away. And so it's very exciting.
Very
for
cool.
me, that's what it's about.
To get that kind of
feedback. Fulfilling the vision. Like, we want to have a socially intelligent world, really, in my opinion, not just the workplace, but it applies for every aspect of your life.
100%. The Emboldened Warrior. Okay, maybe you want to sell a few books. If people are interested in this and want to pick up a copy, can they get it in the usual spots?
Yes, it's on Amazon for sure. It's moving its way through Chapters and Indigo and all that. So, yes. And if anyone wants to be, we're obviously in Ottawa. So, May 21st, book launch, Heart and Crown in Preston Street. Be there.
Great spot.
Yeah, great spot. We're going to have a fun time.
What, May 21st, is that the long weekend right after it?
I think it's before. Good question.
I'm pretty sure the holiday is the 18th. I feel like I looked at this recently, but I'm going to verify. So is it an evening event?
5 till 6:30.
Okay.
I have some mucky mucks coming. And it's open to the public, so it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time.
You don't need to register, just show up?
Well, I would like people to tell me. It would be nice. But, okay. I mean, it's the Heart and Crown. They'll be happy to see you.
We love the Heart and Crown. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I hope it continues to go very well and you continue to get excellent feedback to this book. And again, Kelly Cooper has a couple of books. Lead the Change is one, but the one we're talking about right now, The Emboldened Warrior, and that book launch May 21st at the Heart and Crown on Preston. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.